On the phone with us is Dr. Mark Elliott from the University of Alabama. A team of university students was selected for a national competition to design solutions to challenges facing the environment. That was according to the EPA. They're the ones that put out this national competition. Students from the College of Engineering will explore a new method of disinfecting water using ultraviolet or UV LED lights instead of the traditional UV lamps that create harmful mercury waste and are inefficient compared to the LED technology. Dr. Elliott, thanks for joining us.
Sure, I'm happy to.
Yeah, really appreciate it. I got to say, this is from looking at this and just a cursory understanding of it, it sounds really amazing, at least theoretically. I didn't even realize that lights could be used in such a way to disinfect water.
Yeah. So ultraviolet disinfection of water has been practiced for a long time. The conventional way that it's done is using mercury vapor lamps that clearly mercury is toxic. So when they're disposed of, they create toxic waste. But this method has been used for a number of decades in the United States, mostly in other developed countries, who are wealthy enough to use alternative methods of disinfection besides chlorine disinfection. So there's...
And chlorine's kind of considered the lowest level in terms of disinfection for water?
Well, it works well, but it has some drawbacks also. It can create things called disinfection byproducts that are actually carcinogenic. So there are cancer-causing compounds that are formed when chlorine reacts with organic matter in water. So it's considered not a completely ideal disinfectant. One advantage that chlorine has is that when it gets into a pipe's water system, it actually maintains what's called a residual. So chlorine will remain in the water and can disinfect any contaminants that are introduced later on.
Hmm.
Ultraviolet light is often used in advance of chlorine, so you don't need to use as much chlorine, and you can actually prevent the formation of as many disinfection byproducts by coupling chlorine with ultraviolet light. In maybe the last decade or so, people have started using LED lights, just like the LED lights that are making light bulbs now and flashlights and using in TV screens and computer monitors that can actually emit light instead of in the visible range, in the ultraviolet range. And that ultraviolet light, depending on the exact wavelength, can disinfect drinking water by different mechanisms. So,
yeah, interesting.
In the conventional
this is on a very large scale, it's worth noting as well.
I'm sorry, what's that?
This disinfection is on a very large scale. We're talking about water for an entire city, technically, right? Theoretically.
Right, yeah, right. So with conventional ultraviolet disinfection, that technology's been around for a long time. The lamps are really cheap right now. Compared to these newly emerging LEDs. But I think it's clear that just like with flashlights and monitors and light bulbs, LEDs are the wave of the future. So what we're trying to do is get out in front kind of that research and development wave that's coming from different companies around the country and around the world and figure out exactly which wavelengths work the best and in which combination to disinfect water most effectively.
This national competition that UA students are going to be a part of, if they actually are successful in it, they could get a tremendous amount of money to come back and continue to do more research on it. Are you hopeful about their chances in this competition? Can you kind of walk us through what they're going to have to do?
Sure. Yeah, that's a good question. So the Environmental Protection Agency P3 competition. P3 means People, Prosperity, and Planet. It's a sustainability focused design competition. It's been around, we're in the 11th year right now. I actually, when I was a graduate student at UNC Chapel Hill, was involved in the very first year of that competition and applied actually for a couple others as a graduate student at UNC. So I'm pretty familiar with the competition. How it starts is students in December submit applications, groups of students with a faculty advisor or advisors. They submit these applications. In usually April, they find out whether they're going to get the funding for what's called the Phase 1 Award, which is what we have right now. That's $15,000, and it basically goes to buying the supplies you need to carry out your initial experiments. And then money to travel to Washington, D.C. for the competition where the students can win the Phase 2 award. Phase 2 awards are $75,000, and they'll give Phase 2 awards to probably five or six teams this year.
Wow.
So I'm hopeful. You know, you can never be sure. I think we have a good project and a good team, but probably about one out of six or one out of seven teams will win those Phase 2 awards.
That would be a big deal for UA if I guess you guys could win it. So I assume everybody's saying good luck to you around campus.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, everyone wants us to succeed. Which is great.
Sure. I mean, some of these students are pretty interesting. Looking kind of just at their bios, you have Simon Bedoya, Cheryl Clifton. There's a bunch of others as well. I mean, these are some very intelligent folks that are part of this team. You said you went to UNC. Is the caliber, maybe this isn't a fair question, but I mean, is the caliber of talent in engineering on par with other places that you've been or national leaders here at UA?
Yeah, I think that one of the really important initiatives at UA is to recruit very top, really top undergraduate students. And I have to say that the three schools I went to were Penn State, Virginia Tech, and UNC. And the top students at UA are as good as the top students at any of those institutions. And the groups for the P3 award actually mix undergraduate students with graduate students. So Leon Zhu, who's a graduate student in environmental engineering from China, as a PhD student, sort of took the lead in the literature review for the group, figuring out what the gaps were in kind of what the unknowns are among the scientific community and the engineering community for these UV LEDs and their effectiveness in treating drinking water. We also, I should mention, we brought, after we started writing the application, we realized we needed expertise in not just the drinking water treatment, but also in the LEDs themselves. So Dr. Patrick Kung, who's an associate professor in electrical and computer engineering, came on board. He was actually involved when he was a graduate student in some very early development of ultraviolet LEDs when they were really just in a very emerging research phase.
Right.
And then his student, Joseph Waters, as well, who's a graduate student in material science, came on board. So it's a really interdisciplinary group.
Right. I mean, what about it for you? Why are you involved in this? I mean, why out of everything you could study or do research in or help lead students in, why is this particular issue, why do you feel it's important and worth talking about or worth studying?
Well, I certainly do think it's important, but the students actually were the one who chose the topic. So these are students from my class. It's a graduate class, Civil Engineering 521, which is Environmental Engineering Microbiology. As a new faculty member, it was the first class I ever taught at the University of Alabama. And one of the things that I recognized is that if the University of Alabama wants to become like a very research productive institution, the graduate level coursework needs to go far beyond what you get as kind of as in a typical undergraduate course where you're reading from a book. So what we emphasized in this class was reading actually what's called the primary literature, so journal articles and technical journals, and picking out topics where the students actually recognize that the scientific community didn't know everything. They had some unknowns. And then working with Dr. Kung and me, tried to develop experiments to actually answer those questions and get some funding from EPA to fill those gaps. Frankly, I think that ultraviolet LEDs have a potentially huge role to play in reducing pollution. They're much more energy efficient than mercury lamps and conventional ultraviolet technology, and They're also very light and very durable, and have the potential to be very inexpensive. So we're actually thinking about applications in developing countries where you have mobile populations who need to drink drinking water.
Sure. And so many diseases are spread, of course, through drinking water and poor systems of drinking water regulation, I guess, in these developing countries. So this could potentially be life-saving work. You know, for students as well. I mean, does that excite them, or are these the type of folks that are really driven by kind of, you know, this sort of stereotype of, you know, research and kind of the nerdy thing? Or are these people that are also kind of idealists who are like, man, well, this could be something that really impacts people on the ground, you know?
Yeah, I think that it's very exciting to them and to me to be involved in this sort of work. A lot of my work when I was at UNC and here at UA is internationally focused and focused on disadvantaged populations and trying to get them adequate drinking water and sanitation. So I really do think that was when we were talking about topics, I think that the potential of making a difference in the lives of people around the world was a major motivating factor in choosing the topic.
Sure. What about in the United States? And once again, you're listening to Capstone News Now here on WVUA-FM. We're speaking to Dr. Mark Elliott from the Engineering School here at the University of Alabama. What about in the United States? Because obviously this is an EPA grant. This is an EPA program as well. So first and foremost, I imagine they're trying to develop better technologies for the United States as well as other nations as well. But, you know, the Environmental Protection Agency.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So So what are the specific challenges here in America? You talk about developing countries. What are the, in terms of this, because I imagine the systems are more advanced, although could be old. The infrastructure could be older. You talk about these older kind of lamps that are outdated and have mercury in them, which obviously we've all pretty much come to the conclusion mercury is probably not the best way to put in your, you know, near your water at all. but in terms of the United States, what are the specific challenges and unique challenges there?
Right. So actually, a large portion of the energy used in the United States is involved with water. So, developing more energy efficient technologies at any stage along the path from a water source all the way to someone's tap can make an important contribution in terms of reducing greenhouse gas emissions, reducing reliance on fossil fuels, saving people money also. So. That's one vision for the way ultraviolet LEDs could be used in centralized systems. But there's also applications in the United States for people, for example, who are backpacking or in other remote locations and need an efficient energy source for treating their drinking water.
So this could even be
way to treat the drinking water.
Yes, because so far I assumed you're talking about like very large systems that were for large, but this could even be used for on a small scale, like a Brita almost, effectively in a different way.
Right.
When you're out camping or whatever.
That's exactly right. Yeah, and you mentioned infrastructure challenges in the United States. That is really our major challenge in terms of drinking water quality is the crumbling infrastructure. We have pipes in the ground that many of which have been in the ground for. Most of which have been in the ground for many decades, some of which have been in the ground for over 100 years. And as those pipes crumble, you get to the point, you have to recognize that even if the water was completely clean and safe at the drinking water treatment plant, after it goes through those old pipes, there's the potential for contamination to get into the water later on. So one method of keeping water safe that's become important is what's called point of entry or point of use systems. So these are systems that people actually have in their home, like a Brita filter. I should say Brita filters really aren't so much about keeping water safe as making it taste better.
Hmm.
But if you're using a disinfection technology like LEDs or a filter like a membrane filter, like a reverse osmosis filter, those actually can take water if it's coming into your home and it's unsafe, and actually make it safe to use. So if we were going to institute ultraviolet disinfection inside homes, LEDs would be much preferred to having actual mercury in the home, for sure.
Well, very interesting. Dr. Mark Elliott from the University of Alabama Engineering Department, good luck on this endeavor. We're all rooting for you.
Thanks a lot. Hopefully we'll have some good news come April.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, that's Dr. Mark Elliott from the University of Alabama Engineering School. Thank you, sir.